heard the text, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whenever we think about theology, it always takes place in a certain context, and that context inevitably influences and even shapes our theological thoughts and ideas. I was thinking about this when I learned that the hymn for today was Children of the Heavenly Father, Safely in His Bosom Gather. It's the only hymn that I ever sang in Swedish in this country. That was in the last century in West Central Minnesota as part of a public high school choir concert. Since out of the 10,000 residents of that community, probably 7,000 were Lutherans, a very large Norwegian congregation, two large Swedish congregation, and one small LCMS German congregation, it was appropriate that a public school concert include a well-known and well-loved Scandinavian hymn. No one actually spoke Norwegian or Swedish or German in those days, and I doubt that anyone understood the words of the hymn unless they had sung that hymn in church. But for them, it was a song about communal solidarity, about a past that we knew was gone, but a future that we could face with hope because we believed in the God of our future. In another context, I experienced that it means something quite different when you are living in a world that's gone crazy, where violence is a part of everyday life, where the future is never clear, and one of the things that is certainly clear is that you are not in control. I think we face the same kind of challenge when we think about our text for today. Those of us who have seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ cannot hear the text without the emphasis on violence. And there is plenty of it. Stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, wounded, crushed, chastisement, oppressed, afflicted, cut off out of the land of the living, and buried with the wicked. And that's just the part of Isaiah 53 that forms our text for today. There is more. But what is the point? Is it ultimately only a shocking story with endless violence and gore, designed to leave us with feelings of horror and perhaps sorrow and pain, but not much more than that? Even the Ethiopian eunuch had the question, of whom and of what is Isaiah talking? In theological terms, I suppose that this is a matter of presenting the work of the servant as a statement of law. Look at what happened to God's servant, and you know what? You're responsible for that. How does that make you feel? Look at the sufferings, the passion of the Christ. What do you think God thinks about that? Figure it out. I want to suggest to you that the violence, the pain, the suffering are all a part of this text, but you miss the point if you do not see that the text is ultimately about rescue. It is about the servant who carried our sorrows, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was crushed for our iniquities, whose chastisement brought us peace, whose stripes heal us. And you know what? He rescues even those who, like lost sheep, are lost and wandering, who don't have a clear picture of what is going on and think that the paths they have chosen for themselves are actually going to lead somewhere. And in spite of who we are and what we have done or not done, there is rescue. Our Lord has rescued us through his suffering and death. Way back in the last century, on our first mission assignment, my family and I were living in Asmara, Eritrea, then a part of Ethiopia. It was a world out of control as the country went through a Marxist revolution and a civil war at the same time. At one point, the situation was so bad that our Swedish missionary colleagues insisted that we live in the church's youth hostel so that we would all be nearby and out of danger. The hostel would normally have been filled with boys coming in from the countryside to study in the church's high school, but the military governor had closed all the schools, and so there was room for us living with just a few young men trapped in the city. One morning, I was walking down the stairs, we lived on the third floor, to go over and teach a class in the seminary classroom when I just happened to look out the window and I saw a VW microbus coming up the street. The students had told me that I needed to be careful of that vehicle because the security police used it in their raids. I thought, what's going on? And I picked up the pace going down the stairs. When I got to the main floor, I could look out the window of the door, and I could see about half a dozen young men looking really, really scared. I went out and I saw two men dressed in jeans and t-shirts, wearing army bomber jackets and pistols in their belts. And just as I stepped into the street, one of the security men grabbed one of the students and punched him right in the face, just below his eye, and pushed him over to his colleague, who pushed him into the van. I said, "In Thai, Tegeberu." "What are you doing in Tigrinya?" Tigrinya is a Semitic language related to pre-Islamic Arabic. And so that, in our terms, is a PL imperfect, indicative, active, masculine, second person, plural, used as a polite form since I was talking to a government official. It's the root of the same word that we know in Hebrew as gever, young man, or gabar, act as a man, act with strength. "In Thai, Tideliu, what do you want?" He looked at me with pure hatred. I didn't want to be there, but if I did not speak, this young man was likely dead. We sized each other up for what seemed to me like an eternity, but likely was only a few seconds. Then he told his companion to take the young man out of the van, and it took only a few moments to get all the young men inside the hostel. By the evening, my young prisoner was on his way to safety in the countryside. You see, he was rescued. Why do I tell you this? Most of us here are either in ministry or are preparing for service as pastors and deaconesses. The need for rescue will never go away. Sometimes, like my young friend, it does not have anything to do with what a person has said or not done, but faith and life hang in the balance. As I listen to the prayers of our community, I learn of people who need rescue from the life and faith-destroying disease of cancer, and even unnamed diseases, which are often the most fearsome of all, who need rescue from all that's gone wrong in marriage and family, who need rescue from lifestyle choices. And the list goes on and on. And you know what? Our Lord is still in the business of rescue. and he says, follow me. Through what you choose to say and do, Jesus will offer rescue, will offer forgiveness and life. May our Lord bless you in your part of Christ's mission to the whole world. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.